It's been a privilege to be here. For the last five conferences, Jim and I have been with Pastor Chow, three in Dallas and the last two here at the camp. My husband said, with so many young people, maybe I should tell a little bit about how the Lord dealt with me as a teenager. And first of all, I have to tell you something about my mother. She was saved at the age of 16, and within 6 months, she went to her minister in Ohio, took her to the Zion Faith Homes. During the time that Brother Gardner, Sister Caroline, and even Hans Waldvogel was in Illinois, training under Mrs. Robinson. And so that was my beginning. My mother spent 4 years in all of the different faith homes at that time. And when she came home and married my father, that's when I came into the picture. And I probably gave my heart to the Lord when I was maybe 5 or 6 years old. I know Mother knelt me beside the bed. I can still remember that part of it. And I opened my heart, invited Jesus into my heart. However, I found church to be very boring. My mother went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Tuesday night. I think we had something going on Friday night. I was very bored. It was always three songs, a sermon for an hour, and then maybe a couple prayer requests. But when I was 14 years old, I had a visit from the ministers from Zion, Illinois, where my mother had attended. It was the first time I remember meeting them. My mother said I was in Zion when I was two, but I don't remember that. They came knocking at our door. Unexpectedly, they had been on vacation in the mountains of North Carolina. It was very foggy, and the Lord wanted them to go to Niagara Falls, and they would stop and see Mother. They called her Little Mary because she was so small. They came, and I answered the door, and I said, "Oh, it's Mary Elizabeth Judd is at the door." While they came in, my mother was out doing hospital visitation, and when Mother came in, she fell to her knees and so glad to see this dear saint of God visit our home. They only stayed a couple hours, but they said they'd pray before they left, and when they prayed, a cloud of the Lord's presence came in that room like I had never seen before. I thought they were sleeping. I didn't know what happened. Everybody got very quiet and silent. It was such a heavy cloud of his presence. We didn't move for maybe 40 minutes, just held in his presence. And that one incident spoiled me for the world. I had nothing else that appealed to me. Nothing compared with it. It was like finding a diamond. And there was nothing quite like that marvelous exhilaration of his presence and that glory. And when I graduated from high school and we had 300 in my class, I didn't know what the Lord wanted to do with my life, but he spoke to me one day when I was just vacuuming in the dining room. You know, God can speak anywhere. Mother had said to vacuum and she was off at work, and I stopped in my tracks. I knew we didn't have funds to go to college. But where was I going to do with my life? Where was I going? And the Lord stopped me, and again, that cloud of his presence filled the dining room with a vacuum in my hand. And he said, "You're to go to Zion." Mother came home from work, and I was so excited. I said, "I have to tell you something. She says, "I know you're going to Zion." So, at 18, I'm graduating from high school and off to this faith home in Zion, Illinois, where I spent a couple years at the beginning because it was too tough. I was 500 miles from home, and I was so full of energy. I wanted to do things for God. I thought when I was graduating and of class of 300 that I would probably go to India, or because my mother's friend was Florence Dreyfus. Or maybe I would, I didn't really think much about China, but I know it was missionary. But when I got there, they started teaching me a whole different thing than I was expecting. I can study very hard, and I can work very hard, and I have, like I said, a bundle of energy and ambition. But they said, you have to pray. You have to go to your room now in the morning and pray to know Jesus. Well, I've known him now 13 years. And then they said I had to pray for a clean heart. That if I was going to work for Jesus, I needed to have a clean heart. Okay. In the afternoon, they said, now you, after the dishes are done and we've served the guest, and you go and spend 2 hours seeking the Lord for humility, that the Lord will bring you down. Well, that was so opposite of what I expected. And another prayer they gave me, Martha, the Lord wants you to be real. You know, I had grown up in Pentecost from 3 weeks old, and I knew all the words and all the phrases. But they said, you need to be real. Be real with God. Don't just repeat what your mother said or the language of what you grew up with, but be real with God and sincere. So that was a new prayer. And as I struggled in this life of not doing so much and waiting on God, learning how to wait in His presence. Oh, that was wonderful now. That was wonderful. And the one lesson that I appreciated, Miss Judd taught me, and my verse is John 11, verse 5. You don't have to turn. It's very simple. It's a favorite. Now, Jesus loved Martha. But you see, my sister, my oldest sister's name was Mary. She was named after my mother, and we always got this story about Mary and Martha. I was named after my grandmother. I was born on my grandmother's 50th birthday, so my father called me Martha, but it happened to be this Mary Martha situation. And my sister always wanted to pray. She always wanted to seek the Lord, and she always wanted to fast. She could fast, and she thought she would go to Cuba in those days, even when Fidel Castro was terrorizing the country. But I was cleaning and working and, accomplishing something. But here I was at that age of struggling with myself and not knowing how really to sit so still. So after 2 years, I went back and the Lord opened a door for me. I felt like I was 21 and I was a total failure. This was God's call and sending me there, but I couldn't make it. It was too tough to come down, to be nothing, to do nothing, sit still. I think I'd have done better at Pilgrim Camp. There's so much to do. But I said to the Lord, Lord Jesus, I don't care where I work or where you put me. I just want to be in the center of your will. Put me in the center of your will. The Lord opened a door at a men's clothing store. It was owned by three German Jewish brothers, and I stayed there 15 years. But every year I would go visit in Zion, maybe two or three times, and I'd always say, can I come back? And no, we don't feel it's time. So on March the 20th, 1979, at 7:20 in the morning, I got a phone call. It was from Miss Judd, Mary Elizabeth Judd, and she said, Martha, we just want you to know the door is open if you feel to come. Do I feel to come? I've been praying this prayer for 15 years. I couldn't forget the time on the clock and the day. And so I told my employers that I was going to Zion. And the Lord taught me so much in the business world. I understood. My teacher used to say, Hans Wolfogel said, it's the best education is to work. You learn so much. You learn how to deal with people. And I had worked under a boss, that bookkeeper that insulted me, that was cruel to me. And I didn't know she'd been embezzling money from the company She was found out by the accountant, but she sort of terrorized all the girls. They only stayed about a year. But I knew I'd failed once in Zion, and if God wanted me to go through, I was going to have to stick this out. And I prayed for 7 years. I prayed for love for her. I finally broke down one morning in my room. I said, God, I just can't love her. Everything I did, it was either too slow or I made a mistake. You're doing it too fast. So it was constant like this. But the Lord poured into my heart a love for her that was from Him. Not anything I had myself. And I thought, oh, isn't this wonderful. It was my education. The name of this clothing store was Harvard's Menswear. I've often told my Chinese friends I had a Harvard education. But it was a time of proving those things that I had, that basic training in Zion, that you can love people that are difficult. You can accept everything as from the hand of the Lord for your benefit and your education. And I'd always go back to this truth that Jesus loved me and His plan was best. And, you know, at the end of 10 years when that lady retired, she said to me, Martha, I haven't been very nice to you, but you're a real person. I thought, oh, thank you, Jesus. And I got to talk to her about the Lord and told her I would be praying for her. I even visited her in nursing home and spoke to her about Jesus. So the Lord used those 15 years for His benefit. Little did I know it would be bookkeeping and accounts payable and accounts receivable, and that's what Pastor Chow has me doing. As He's asked me to be the treasurer of the ministry. So, see, it all fits together if you trust the Lord in the dark times and the unknowing times where you're not sure what He's doing with your life. And even if you feel you've been a failure, He's able to pick that up and turn it all around. So at that point, when I went back to Zion, I spent a total of 8 years in Zion. And at one point, toward the end, I came to Pilgrim Camp, and there was plenty to do. I started in the kitchen, third cook, and wanted to stay here. And then I went in next year, housekeeping, and then up counseling in the village. And so there was plenty to do. And I met Pastor Chow here on the grounds for the first time at Pilgrim Camp. And I also met Gordon and Ruby McKinnon, who invited me to come and work with them. They were starting a faith home. Oh, this was in embryo stage, because in Zion, they had been living by faith for 80 years. And it was all fresh in Canada, where we had to trust the Lord for what was going to be on the table that day. And that was like the stories I had heard about. And now it was real. And I loved the Canadians. I loved Ruby McKinnon. I felt she was my Naomi. It was the first time I was ever out of the USA into Canada, into any other country. So I felt I had left my home and my people. I was Ruth, although some of the fellows in training there called me Ruthless, because I was a sharpshooter. And they would complain about the other one talking too much in meeting. I said, was that because you were the one not doing the talking? And so they said, so Martha, you're ruthless. But we had a lot of fun with those in those days working together. Ruby was certainly my Naomi. And I sure wasn't sure what the Lord was doing in my life. I remember the spot in the prayer room where I was alone one time. You know, sometimes you find that room empty. I was crying out to the Lord. Wasn't sure what He wanted to do with me. I had all these new emotions and excitement about His will. And I thought one thing I thought I knew was His will wasn't. And I was weeping before Him. He spoke into my heart and said, strange thing, I already have a Boaz prepared. Now, what does that mean? but I found him. I thought, oh, you must mean somebody in Canada. You know, because that's where I was Ruth and had my Naomi took me there. And, you know, within 6 months, Mr. Weldon, who lived in Canada and served in the McKinnon's Church, asked me to marry him. He didn't understand. He had this interest in me. I said, well, give it to God. And he did a very smart thing, guys. He backed off. And, you know, he didn't push or press. That's so smart. Because then I could look at it at a distance and say, well, maybe this is what God's meaning. And I prayed a whole year about it. And I remember walking down the street one day and saying, Lord, I don't care what any, because some people were opposed to my marrying anybody but a minister. I said, why do I want to marry a minister? They're so proud, Brother Eddie. They're so proud. I said, this man I saw in the church, he was a servant of the Lord, and he still is. You know, he's a servant of the Lord. Isn't that what a minister is? A servant of the Lord Jesus. But there was some opposition, and I said, Jesus, I don't care what anybody says. When I stand before you, I just want you to say, Martha, well done. And then I took a few steps on my walk, and I realized what I had said. I just want you to say, Martha, well done. And so, after a year of prayer, Jim took me to dinner in the beautiful restaurant, you know, linen tablecloths, violins playing, and all that wonderful things, and lace curtains. And then he says, well, let's take a walk. It was just a mile from Lake Ontario. The sun was about to set. Next thing, he's on his knees in the sand, and he's saying, will you marry me? I says, wait a minute. I was scared to death to miss the will of God. I really was. I was frightened. I don't want to not do God's will. I said, give me some time. And so he took a walk down the beach, and I cried out to the Lord, and all of a sudden I'm praying in tongues. It was so traumatic to me that I get an answer, and I'm praying in tongues, and the Lord spoke again into my heart. Isn't it wonderful that God does speak? He's still speaking to us if we open our ears. And he said to me, say yes to him like you would if it were me. Oh. All my fear was gone because I realized Jesus loved Martha. Jesus' will is the best thing that can happen to any of us. And all my fear disappeared. He came back from his walk, and I said, don't you want to know what the Lord said? He said, when you're ready. And I said, yes. Well, then, how does Brother Chow enter into this in the Chinese? Well, in Canada, Pastor Chow came to visit and speak in our church. I was asked to be his chauffeur to Toronto. Because he was visiting a doctor who had invited 100 scholars from mainland China to come to his home for Thanksgiving dinner. And this doctor had a huge home. We opened the door, and there's 50 pairs of shoes or 100 pairs of shoes. I was the only English person. And they had this magnificent dinner, all those black mushrooms and squids and all that stuff. And Pastor Chow spoke to them. For 4 years, one of the boat people from Vietnam had been witnessing to them, but no conversions at all. 4 years. She took them on outings to Niagara Falls or apple picking, but no conversions. And Pastor Chow spoke, and then Sister Nancy was my first interpreter. She I gave my testimony of the Lord healing me at 9 years of age when I was dying with rheumatic fever. But my mother prayed for me, and the Lord healed me instantly overnight after 2 weeks of not responding. But the Lord healed me overnight. I jumped off of the bed in the morning and went to the kitchen. And she says, what are you doing off that bed? I said, I'm hungry. So she called the doctor. He said, give her anything she wants. Bring her in to see me. And they could not find any heart murmur. They couldn't find anything wrong with me. And so I told that story. Nancy interpreted. And Pastor preached to them the gospel. And we had 20 converts that night. After this 4 years of somebody laying the foundation. Well, Pastor flew back to Maryland the next day. And what do we do with these 20 converts? A Baptist church opened the door and I was allowed. They asked me to come into Toronto on a Friday night and they would interpret for me and I could share. Well, I'll tell you, let's backtrack a little. I just want to say that my mother, in her days in Zion, Illinois, wanted to go to China to work in Hunan province, in an orphanage. Someone had visited there, and she wanted to go. But it was during the 40s when the doors were pretty tightly closed into China. Anyway, she was thrilled when she heard about what had happened, and she encouraged me. And then my mother suffered with Parkinson's disease for 17 years, and Jim and I moved from Canada to Ohio to care for her. And when she died, we went to visit my sister in Texas. By then, Pastor's in Texas, and Pastor saw we were free and put us both to work right away in these conferences. Jim had been an administrator for 20 years in the Air Force, so he did the setup and I got to teach the things that I learned in the Faith Home in Zion. And then Pastor invited me to go to China. The first day I put my feet on Chinese soil in mainland China about 4 years ago was Mother's Day. And the couple that I met that were leaders of about 10 churches, they asked me to adopt them. And he brought his wife to me to be my daughter, and her name was Mary. That was my mother's name. I just broke down crying. I said, my mother always wanted to go to this province in Hunan. He said, tomorrow I leave for that province to preach the gospel. I said, God, you're too much for me. Because you see, if we wait and we trust him and we believe him, he brings us his way. And we can let him lead me blindfold onward. Love needs not to know. Love needs not to know. We don't need to know. We just know him. If I know him, I can trust him. And I trusted his love and I thank Miss Judd for that foundation. She gave that so solidly into my heart that when things have fallen apart or things are extremely difficult, I know that God is good. I know that God has a plan. I know that he loves me and his love is forever. And it doesn't matter what circumstances look like. He is working out his plan and I've been able to go 4 times. Maybe 5. He's already planning Australia in October. But we've been to Taiwan. We've been to Malaysia. We've been to Hong Kong. And I've been 3 times to mainland China. So I just thank God that now that I'm old, he has led me all the way. That's a song the Lord put in my heart this morning. Jesus led me all the way. And he had to work a work in me. He had to reduce me from feeling I could do it. I was gung-ho. I had all this ambition. I was going to go for God. And then those failures convinced me that out of weakness we're made strong. When we learn that we can't do it and we're not able, then we prove the truth that for me to live is Christ. And I have Sister Aletha, I'm very frail and weak, but you know, I've worked hard the last week or so with you and with Abby, wherever she is. Hi, Abby. Abby's been my boss. And so I just thank the Lord that he can take the weak things of the earth, the things that are not. Because I did ask a missionary during my time in Zion if I could go to Taiwan, and it wasn't Sister Pearl, but it was another missionary. And she said, oh, we only take people that are strong and able. We want physically strong people. And I was often sick. But you see, I wonder, if she's in heaven today, she's looking down and see that God can take the weakest of us, the most inefficient, incapable. He can do it. He loves to prove that out of nothing, he can make us what he wants to be, instrument in his hand. Amen.